1116 SEN, the award-winning crunch time for Honda's 2017 runout.
Brendan Bolton, the Carlton coach, will be our guest reflecting on last night. But at the MCG this afternoon, Melbourne will look to break what is quite an extraordinary hoodoo, which now dates back to 2006 against North Melbourne. It's already been a significant week for the Demons as they pledge to rid themselves of pokies revenue. I think they might have misrepresentation on the competition committee as well. Peter Jackson, the chief executive of the Demons. Peter, welcome to Crunch Time.
Thanks, Jared.
How did you miss a spot on the competition committee?
Oh, I don't know. You ask the people that decided the names.
Were you at all peeved?
Oh, I don't get peeved about those things. I mean, the most important thing is that that committee has some teeth and gets listened to, and it's just not a consultative process that's there to make it look all right. As long as it has some influence, that's fine.
Yeah, you're optimistic.
I mean, there's a lot of good football people around that could go on it. For everyone that's on it, there's probably another two that could easily be on it. So you can't pick everybody. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Are you optimistic about them, about it?
Give them the benefit of the doubt to start with and hope it, hope it works out the way it's being talked about, yeah.
That doesn't sound very optimistic to me.
Do you sense a willingness for change at head office? Is that part of this, do you think?
A change in what sense?
Probably in the broad setup of the competition, maybe to be a bit more imaginative, a bit bolder, maybe modernise the competition.
Well, I guess it depends what all those words mean, Jared. I mean, I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I mean, I think we have a great, unique game. That's not played anywhere else in the world, obviously, but it's got some really unique characteristics to it. And I think we get worried too much about little things. I think head office does a little bit, you know, bouncing the ball and, you know, runners and things like that. And we spend our time talking about all that sort of stuff, but we have such a unique game. Why don't we promote the uniqueness of it all and understand what it is? I would hate, for example, to lose the bounce of the ball, but not that that's got anything to do with the committee. I understand that, but I'm just making the point. I just don't think you want to mess around with it too much. So it depends what you mean when you say modernise and things like that.
Yeah, it's just sort of the vibe, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm not a traditionalist for the sake of it. I think all through my career in football, I've demonstrated that we change things up and change things around and innovate. I'm all for that. But I just think this game is so unique that we should be building it on the unique parts of the game rather than trying to, I don't know, sterilise it or make it too many rules and regulations about how you do it.
Are there specific things that don't get enough love or promotion of the unique aspect of the game?
No, I think we worry too much about what goes wrong. And I think the game... Well, I don't think the game. I know the game's built around chaos. It's a chaotic game, and it's probably one of the only sports, if there's another one, I don't know what it is, where rules are open to interpretation. They're not definitive. So you get three umpires out on the ground and they've got to interpret a situation. It's not such a definitive thing as offside or whatever else other sports play. And so you get all that interpretation, you get that chaos, you've got a crazy ball bouncing all over the place. It's just chaos. That's part of what makes it so exciting. You can't legislate to take that out of the game, I don't think.
You're taking pokies out of the club. Yeah. Is how much of that is the acknowledgement that it's not the right thing for footy clubs now, given the societal impact of
It's both things, Jared. I mean, it's not that is absolutely an issue, and we've had a very positive response from people over that. Footy clubs are owned by the community. You know, supporters are just members of the community who decide to support us and put their money into the club. So we've got to be aware of what community sentiment is, absolutely. And the AFL generally is pretty good at that. But it was a business analysis. I mean, we looked at, we started this process 18 months ago of looking where we were and where we were in gaming and asked ourselves whether it's something we wanted to be in as much as a business issue. And we thought not, because I think this footy club's got a great opportunity over the next 5 to 25 years to set itself up, which it's never had before as a football club. And I mean by that, we're heading hopefully to a pretty good football team over the next few years, but we've also got some good capital assets that will allow us to invest and reshape what the football club looks like, and which I think will then allow the club to stand alone as an independent organisation for, you know, the next 25 years or so, which it really hasn't been for probably since it walked away from the MCC, is what I understand. So, you know, I think there's those opportunities. And if you look at gaming, I think it's going to be a tough industry. I think it's an industry football clubs should be distracted into. Our core business is winning games of footy out here, and we don't want our management resources, our executive, effort diluted in that sort of business. I don't think we're very good at it, so let's get out of it and do what we're good at.
Do you think other clubs are going to... So now North Melbourne and Melbourne, do you think other clubs will, under the almost the encouragement of the chairman of the AFL, will get themselves out of pokies in the short term?
I don't know. I can't speak for them, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to even not suggest to offer advice. I'll never do that. But, one way I express it is we're Melbourne's in a commercial evolution at the moment, and we're not anywhere near our peak commercially. So we actually can make this decision. People ask us, well, it's $2 million of net revenue a year. How are you going to replace that? Well, I think it's easy. I think over the next 3 or 4 years that will be easy. And one of the reasons is the opportunity, and one of the reasons, the capital opportunity I talked about, and the other one is because we haven't really touched the edge a bit about growing this club commercially off its football. So we're still sort of immature, if I can put it that way, commercially, whereas some other clubs are at their peak commercially. And so if you want to take $3 or $4 million out of that P&L account, it ironically might be a lot harder for them. And the thing everyone's got to respect is that directors, boards have got to, maintain the financial sustainability of their footy club for their members. That's what their role in life is. So it's not going to be as easy for some clubs just to make a decision based on community sentiment, I don't think.
What's been the wash-up with the pre-season camp? I know it's been spoken about a lot, but now Adelaide as well in the same conversation.
Have
you cast your eye across their issues that they've had? And
not really.
What are the learnings out of it?
Well, to be honest, the only thing we talk about is responding to questions like this, and I don't mean to be flippant or rude about that, but we sorted it out in our own minds.
But it's going to keep coming up. Your form, even last week, if Brisbane had have lost that game, it's going to keep coming up because the link to the mental fragility, I guess, of the group is going to keep
look,
coming up.
I don't think anything that happened last week was related to mental fragility, related to special ops
but
camp.
But you understand it would come up.
Oh, I understand the question will get asked, but I don't agree in any sense that there's a link. I mean, this footy team is a hard football team. There's no doubt about that. We saw that, and we dropped off for a quarter against Geelong, and we dropped off for a quarter over a period of time against Brisbane and club. Yeah, these teams aren't... They're pretty good football teams. They've got some damn good players, and I think Brisbane's going to end up, on reflection, end of the year, being a lot better football team than what people might have given credit to at the beginning of the year. They've got some damn good players there, and you take your eye off that for a game, yeah, and we've got a very young list still, and I don't think it's got anything to do with the physicality or we've got a very hard footy team. We're going to play very hard, competitive, contested footy, and that's what their trademark is, and they'll keep doing that. They'll do it for longer in a game, and we just don't think it's an issue.
Are there tensions with the Players Association? Is that part real?
No. Well, we all think we could have handled it a little bit differently at the time, but that time was 5 months ago, Jared. I mean, we move on. No. We all agree we might have done a little bit differently at that time. The players do. The leadership group does. PA might. We do. So, yeah, we did. We learn, you move on. But it's not an issue within the footy club.
Peter Jackson's the chief executive of Melbourne. Bob Murphy.
Last week, the win against Brisbane, although the boys got the wobbles a little bit late, but you went in as favourites. You go in as hot favourites again today. Have you got a sense of the playing group that the... going in with that pressure on as the need to win, is that sitting more comfortably on the shoulders of the players, do you think?
I think there was a clear correlation over the last 2 years that we played better against teams we weren't expected to beat and didn't play well against teams that we started favour. That correlation exists. That's just reality. Now, why that happens, and there's a lot of people have different opinions about it, but I do think it sits better. I think that it's all called maturity, Bob. I think that's what they're doing. I mean, we all forget what we were like, and maybe even past footballers forget what they were like when they were 17, 18, 20, those sort of things. And, it takes time to mature in every aspect of the game, physically, mentally, the whole lot. And we're going through that process, and I think we're getting there.
Sorry to cut you off there, Peter. One of your young leaders who's not with you on the field at the moment, Jack Viney, I'm intrigued as to how he's handling his responsibilities as a leader without being to impose himself on the field. He seems like a lead by example kind of leader without knowing him too well. How's he coping off the field?
I reckon that's a very good observation, Bob. And whilst we would prefer him to be out there, absolutely, I think what's happening at the moment is great for his personal development as a leader, because he's having to lead from a different dimension to what he had would normally do, which is get out there and crash and bang and show the way. And so, yeah, he's around the place and he's having a lot more influence, a lot more conversations with players and a whole range of players now because he's got the time to do it. And I think he's, I think it'll stand him in good stead, although I wish he was playing.
Would he have any spare time, any extra conversations with his old mate Ollie Wines to see if he might want to come over?
Yeah, that's that'd be nice to have Ollie, but I'm sure he's you know, emotionally deeply ensconced in the Port Adelaide Footy Club. So,
have you got any room at the end to be aggressive again? Obviously, you went for Lever successfully.
Oh yeah, we got room to do what you know to grab a free agent type player. Absolutely, but. You know, what we've got to do is not look at just the 2019 season and whether you can do that. We've got to look at where we might be in 2022. So if we've got the talent that we think we have and we want to keep them together, we've got to look after them all. So it's going to be it's a longer term look than just what can you do next year. It has to, you know, the ramifications for 2 or 3 years beyond that, we have to understand that as well.
What's Simon Goodwin's biggest challenge at the moment as coach?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought that one through. I don't think it in that sort of context. I think he's got one of his great strengths is his relationships with his players, and he's spent a lot of time over the last 2 years doing that. And it was good reading Clayton Oliver's article today about that sort of thing. I mean, that's what Simon invests very, very heavily in, is those relationships. So I think if he's got very strong relationships with the players, then anything that happens, whether it's feedback, selection, camps or whatever else, it can always stand that test. And so I think his challenge, I guess if his challenge is to is keep doing those things even when the pressure comes on and not just try and work harder, but keep doing what he's doing at the moment.
Peter, good to see you. Good luck this afternoon.